In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Friday, September 30th, 2016 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. The criminal trial is over for the men responsible for the torture and murder of three Christians in Turkey back in 2007. There were 21 defendants in the trial in total. Five men received life sentences, and one military officer received 14 years. The long trial included an investigation of military officers allegedly involved in the murders. Two Turkish Christians and one German missionary were working with a Christian publishing house when they were tortured and murdered. The five charged said they did it for religious reasons. Ecclesiastes 12 says, "For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil." An explosive belt went off during a conventicle of ISIS members near Kirkuk, Iraq on Wednesday, killing 16, including senior leaders, according to Iraqi news. Psalm 7 says, "He made a pit and dug it, and has fallen into the ditch which he made." In spite of the anti-conversion laws active in Nepal at this time, 200 pastors met together September 5th through 8th to plan a nationwide discipleship effort. Global Advance is a ministry that equips indigenous leaders to spread the gospel. They hope to plant 75 churches in the next 4 years. Over 250 men and 250 women came together for the training. Ken Jank, Director of Programs and Partnerships at Global Advance, spoke to The Worldview about the vision.
We were invited by a pastor there who asked us to come and train leaders in Nepal to plant churches. So over a year ago, we began talking about what this could look like. And, you know, I'm always very passionate about seeing that there's a sustainable, ongoing model that we can build upon. So he came to me and said, now Nepal has been divided into 7 states. And inside those states are 75 districts. And so what I have a dream for, he said, was I want to see a church planted in every one of those 75 districts.
House Majority Whip Steve Scalise has introduced a bill into Congress to repeal the infamous Johnson Amendment, which was supposed to have prevented pastors from speaking to political issues. Scalise has said that under President Obama, the IRS has used the Johnson Amendment to, quote, "go after churches and limit free speech," unquote. Jesus told us, "Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops." Luke 12:3. The United States is giving up control over the domain name service to the Internet Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers. It's a private organization. Some conservatives fear this could mean a transfer of control of the Internet to the United Nations or some other international body. One 14-year-old boy is in custody after the school shooting near Greenville, South Carolina. News sources report he was homeschooled after being expelled from school, allegedly for bringing a hatchet to school and attacking a fellow student. Jesse Osborne is held in connection with his father's murder and the school shootings. 2 students and 1 teacher were wounded, and a 6-year-old child named Jacob Hall is still struggling for life after 3 surgeries and the loss of 75% of his blood. Tim Marcingill, associate pastor at Oakdale Baptist Church, said that Jacob loves Jesus. And a volunteer firefighter by the name of Jamie Brock was the first responder at the scene. He's being hailed as the hero for subduing the shooter. Faith Christian School soccer team in Mesa, Arizona, forfeited a game when they discovered the other team included female players. Fox News anchor Lauren Green pointed out that those following biblical directives will maintain a different culture.
You know, it almost seems as like, you know, you're almost living in 2 different cultures because the secular culture has progressed in one way and sort of a, you know, more conservative or orthodox Christian culture has really, you know, held the line on, you know, what is biblically a biblical directive.
Administrator Dick Buckingham told Fox News, "God created guys and girls differently, and gender differences are grounded in God's truth." Meanwhile, University of Michigan students who do not like the standard pronouns of he or she may choose their preferred pronouns and submit them to the administration as they'd like it to appear on the class rosters. The university vice president and provost told Fox News that this is, quote, one of the most basic ways to show your respect for their identity and to cultivate an environment that respects all gender identities, unquote. Romans 1:28 says, and since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. And that's the worldview on this Friday, September 30th, in the year of our Lord, 2016. Invite your friends to listen to this unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you today. I'm a homeschool father of five, raising our kids out here in Eastern Plains, Colorado, and part of the home education movement, really, for the last, 49 years of my life. And we've homeschooled our kids through the 1990s over the last, say, 22 years. Steve Vaughn, also in studio, homeschool father of six. And ages of your kids are, I'm guessing, what, like 15 to 24?
Well, try 11 to 25.
All right, good enough. All right, well, today we're going to talk a little bit about home education because it has been part and parcel of our lives. It's also been an attempt to rediscover the application of Deuteronomy 6, 7, and Ephesians 6, 4 in the post-Christian age of the 21st century. And it's not necessarily the one-size-fits-all. It's not the cure-all. It's not the silver bullet or the panacea for all issues in your family. But it seems to be a fairly good application of Deuteronomy 6, 7 for many, many families. So today we're going to talk about what happened. Breaking news from Townville, South Carolina. First time, as far as I know, in the history of the modern home education movement in which a homeschool suspect has allegedly shot up an elementary school, a public school. So, Steve, this is a first in the history, as far as I know, at least in the history of the modern home education movement. And my guess is some of the detractors in the movement or against the homeschooling movement will most likely use this as fodder against home education. So I think we want to interact with this. By the way, I have interacted on almost every homeschool murder since 1999, I believe it is. We have engaged on this issue many times. We've talked about public school shootings and homeschool shootings. And I think it is appropriate that we contrast and understand some of, well, the fact that home education is not a panacea and there are certain negative three sigma or negative three standard deviations on the normal distribution, even amongst homeschoolers, to think that somehow home education is perfect and there aren't sinners where hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked amongst homeschoolers is a misconception. Certainly, yeah. You know, all humans are fallen sons and daughters of Adam, and we need to acknowledge that even with the home education movement.
Yeah, and the reason I think why this makes the news is because the homeschool shootings are not the common thing. And so they do need to make sure that it stands out that it's a homeschooler that actually did the shooting.
They're pretty rare. In fact, I'm trying to think of the last one. I think it was probably 3 to 4 years ago.
Yeah.
It's been a while since we've covered a homeschool shooting, two of which happened in the state of Colorado. One happened in New Mexico, and one happened in the state of Pennsylvania. This would have been more like 7 to 8 years ago when a couple of homeschool kids shot up one of the parents, and then they ran off together. It's a young man, young woman.
Yeah.
So that would have happened closer to 8, 9 years ago. And so my calculation is something like 7 to 8 homeschool murders over a period of 10 to 12 years.
Yeah, that's a pretty rare occurrence.
It is, yes. Well, let's talk about what happened here in Townville, South Carolina. Apparently, this young 14-year-old suspect opened fire on his father. His father actually was murdered, and three are now wounded in Townville Elementary School in South Carolina. And he was evidently arrested by a volunteer firefighter who was very courageous in bringing the young man to justice.
And yeah, he was a first responder, I think. Everybody heard the 911 call. I mean, it's a town of 3,900 people, something like that. And so he was first on the scene, saw the guy, confronted him, took him down, held him until the police got there.
The data points that we have at this point, friends, is this young man was, at least according to some of the witnesses covered by some of the recent stories I've picked up on the internet, this young man was suspended from public school for bringing a gun to school within the last 2 years. Okay, that's the report we have from one of the news sources. And he was homeschooled. Apparently, they were forced to do it because he was suspended from the public school within the last 2 years for bringing a gun to school. He was 14 years of age. His mother was at work at the time that this happened when he shot his father and then moved on to the local elementary school. And evidently, two kids and one teacher, I believe, were wounded in the assault.
Yeah, two of them, the teacher and one of the students, have already been released from the hospital. One's still in critical condition in the hospital, but doesn't seem to be at this point life-threatening.
Thankfully, that's the case. We'll be praying for the victims. Well, we'll probably find a little more information on this as the years go by, but we're going to interact with us just a little bit more in just a moment on the Generations broadcast. It's interesting that the media refers to the young men who do this these shootings as homeschooled every single time. If he was homeschooled, we all know that he was homeschooled. Why is that? Why is the descriptive adjective used for these shootings always referring back to the fact that these young men or young women that engaged in these crimes were homeschooled? Why is that so important to the media to cover? We'll talk about that a little bit more in just a moment on the Generations broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson, also Steve Vaughn in studio today. It's hard to imagine Christian pastors going to jail for their faith, and it's just as hard to imagine Christian businessmen fined $135,000 for not baking a cake in celebration of a homosexual wedding. It's hard to imagine America turning into a communist state that persecutes Christians and rewards the most aberrant. Will Christians just let it happen? Should Christians just let it happen? These are important questions, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson. And I wrote the book on freedom because I wanted to build a case for freedom. A biblical case. A historical case. And let me tell you, the history of freedom is the most inspiring story you'll ever read. Have you heard the story of the Magna Carta, Bannockburn, Leyden, and William the Silent, the American Pilgrims, and the Battle for King's Mountain? How will we fight for freedom in this generation and the next? Well, tell the story first. The story of freedom. Let's leave a legacy for freedom for our children and our grandchildren. Get a copy of the new book, Freedom for Each of Your Children and Grandchildren, at generations.org. That's generations.org. We're back on the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you. Homeschooled as a kid, also a homeschool father. And Steve Vaughn, a homeschool father of six, in studio today as we talk about home education. And it's interesting, Steve, that whenever there are these crimes involving suspects who have homeschooling in their background, that's always referred to. In other words, if I was ever arrested for speeding, I'd probably be reported in the local Elbert County newspaper for having been homeschooled.
Yes.
Probably, right? It's interesting that becomes the adjective, that is descriptive adjective for the suspect in a criminal case. It's interesting they go right to that, and I think it is because home education does set somebody apart from the rest of the population. It is true that if you rearrange the first domino in a child's social experiences, that will no doubt affect the other aspects of their lives. That's the way that people think about this. And it is true that it is a different social environment, the home education environment in which you say, I'm not going to take my kid at 5 or 6 or 7 years of age and put him into an institution and institutionalize that child for the next 12, 14 years out of his life. If you make the choice not to do that, you no doubt will create a different social environment for that child. And that is of something of a concern to others. Now, it may be of positive import, or it may have a negative import or impact upon that child's life.
Yeah. And, you know, not every parent is necessarily qualified to homeschool. And we've both said that on this program before, that not all parents are equipped or should homeschool. There are times when other forms should be done. And again, this student had been homeschooled for the last, we don't know how long, if it's been that 2 years that he got suspended 2 years ago for bringing handguns to the school. But it seems as though that this guy was a bit troubled in the first place. So this is not homeschool by choice.
We certainly would encourage every Christian parent to bring their children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, and that every Christian parent should share with their children the basic gospel of Jesus Christ and should do so on a daily basis. I mean, that's encouragement. That's the basic encouragement. Now, how they pick up on their piano lessons or how they pick up on their algebra lessons or the geography lessons and how that works its way out in the lives of individual families, that's a matter of Christian liberty. But I really believe Christians ought to be discipling their kids at the very least, on a daily basis in the Word of God. So that would be an encouragement on my part. But home education is a different social environment, and therefore it's referred to by the media. And so I'm not saying it's wrong for the media to say, hey, this young man was homeschooled. I'm not saying it's wrong for them to do so, but I think it's interesting that they don't use the same phrase for public school kids. They don't say, now, a public school young man shot up Columbine High School in 2001. You don't hear about public school, private school students engaging in these murders. In fact, it just went online and found the office of juvenilejustice.gov, and between 700 and 1,000 juvenile murders are conducted by juveniles each and every year. And as I already mentioned, homeschoolers, probably about 1% or one homeschool murder per year. And that actually makes up about 0.1% per year. And so if you think about it, Steve, if you take the 700 to 1,000 juvenile murders that are conducted each year, according to the Office of JuvenileJustice.gov, homeschoolers make up 3% of the population. Okay, so you do 3% times 1,000, and you would come up with a number of 20 to 30 murders per year. You would expect to find homeschoolers participating in somewhere between 20 to 30 murders per year, and that certainly has not been the case over the last 10 to 12 years that we've reported on this.
Yeah, it's been maybe one or almost one a year if you take a look at the average.
Meaning that this is about 1/30th of the rate you would expect if homeschoolers were murdering at the same rate as the public and private school kids were murdering.
Right, and so that's what makes this news, because it's rare.
That's right. And so that's why they put it in the news. All right, let's talk a little bit about home education. I think we're going to put aside this sad situation in which this young man was allegedly involved in the murder of his father and shooting up a school. Again, why does this happen? It happens because the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. The problem of anger, the problem of wrath, the problem of malice, the problem of bitterness, unforgiven sin within the home environment is something that we all experience to some extent. We're all part of what I like to call this gigantic iceberg under the sea. From time to time, you see a murder that comes out of these homes, largely because there is sin that is not repented of. And of course, the hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And so you're going to see this sort of thing happening because of the total depravity of man. And so, you know, we ought to recognize this kind of thing. We ought to recognize anger. We ought to recognize wrath and bitterness. Hopefully, there is a record of pardon, forgiveness, confession, and the cleansing of the blood of Jesus Christ going on in our homes to the point that We're not going to be seeing murder happening in Christian homes across this country, certainly not within Christian homeschool homes across the nation.
Yeah, that's why, you know, with Czech, you know, our sort of not mantra, but what we call out as Christian homeschooling is Christ-centered first. Christ-centered, parent-directed, free from government control.
And certainly if you wind up with your children in the same house for extended periods of time, the people closest to you tend to be the hardest to love.
Yeah.
The people closest to you tend to be the ones that rub you the wrong way. And they will, relationships tend to shake the crusty mud on the bottle and bring some of that, you know, some of that ugly stuff to the surface of the bottle, and relationships bring sin to the surface. And if they're not confessed, if the sin is not confessed, if we're not sitting under the cross of Jesus Christ and asking for forgiveness and humbly confessing our sins to one another, then we're going to be in trouble. And that's why, in some ways, the homeschool environment can be more difficult, simply because we're bringing our children into our lives and engaging in relationship over long periods of time.
Yeah, it's kind of like if you see a clean pool of water in a stream, and you go and you take a stick and you stir it up, you know, the stream might be saying, "You've made me dirty." It's like, no, the stick just kind of made you notice it this time.
That's
right. So we notice each other's dirtiness a lot more because we can become a lot more comfortable with each other and can be ourselves, which can also bring about a lot of distress.
That's right. So on the one hand, some families may be tempted not to engage in relationship, much easier to live in a hermetically sealed containers in which we have very little contact with anybody else, you know, where we have our own relationship with our imaginary iPhone and electronic relationships. But I encourage families to engage in relationship, but certainly do so under the cross of Jesus, and restore relationship constantly by way of a biblical conflict resolution in the home. All right, well, let's talk a little bit about the concerns, not on the part of the media, but on the part of Obama's education secretary. Apparently, he's concerned about home education. Been a number of news sources that picked this up, The New American, as well as a lot of other news sources that picked up these comments that the Secretary of Education made at a Christian Science Monitor breakfast. This would have been about a week or two ago. And we covered this on Worldview in 5 minutes about a week ago. And so I thought I'd interact a little bit with these comments. They are interesting. It's interesting that home education has maintained something of a positive media image over a period of 20, 30 years. So we're thankful that somehow, by the grace of God, there's this island of freedom that's formed, and the socialists have been unable to illegalize home education in 50 states. Now, there's varying levels of strictures and regulations on home education across the United States, but we're just thankful that God, in his providence, has enabled home education to be fairly free. And there's actually some good news in this story. I'm going to get to that in just a moment. But John King is the latest Secretary of Education for Barack Obama. And he apparently is a pro-Common Core activist. He's been somewhat controversial in the past, but he said he is concerned about home-educated students not getting the breadth of instructional experience. His words, not mine, the breadth of instructional experience. And when he's defining it, he says the breadth of instructional experience and school experience must include the building of relationships with peers, teachers, and mentors. He says that can be difficult to achieve in homeschooling unless parents focus on it. So that's what he said. And then he comes back and he said, obviously, it is up to families if they want to take a homeschool approach. So I appreciate the fact that he clarified his comments by acknowledging that there is freedom in America to make choices on a family-by-family basis, on a parent-by-parent basis. It's interesting that he has to acknowledge that there is some family freedom here. There has been some opening up of parental choice in the area of education over the last 30, 40 years. And as we have complained about the destruction of freedom across this country over the last 100 years, indeed, government has been increasing exponentially in so many areas of our lives. It's interesting that these islands of freedom have formed since the 1980s, largely because, well, the grace of God, and there have been parents – and families willing to embrace their responsibilities. And any time people have stepped up to the plate and said, I am willing to take on the responsibilities of raising my own children and not turning them over to the state, it's interesting that God, in his grace, provides the rights to do that. Responsibilities and rights are two sides of the same coin. And where there have been millions of families, 1, 2, 3 million families, that's just 1-2% of the population. But where there have been parents willing to step up to the plate and say, I will embrace my responsibilities and not turn this over to the state, to the state's funding, to the state's control, where I am willing to sign up to be the one to raise my children in the fear and nurture of the Lord, where parents have taken that responsibility, God in his grace has provided the rights, the freedom to do that.
Yeah, and you would think that with so few, just 1 or 2% of the population, that you would see massive problems if there was a problem with this.
And there have not been massive issues. In fact, again, not looking at anecdotal evidence, and I encourage you not to just say, I know somebody in the public schools who shot up a classroom, therefore all public schools are evil.
Right.
Okay, be careful that you don't use that kind of logic. Either way, be careful you don't use it for homeschools as well as using it for public schools. Please don't use anecdotal evidence. Rather, look to the statistics. In fact, we have done extensive research on the millennial generation, found that that public school students are 220% more likely to be sexually molested than homeschool students. So we have the data. As one of my engineering professors used to say, in God we trust, all else bring data.
Yes.
And I encourage that, especially when, you know, the deterrence to home education. Say, I know a family that hasn't really done a very good job educating their kids. I know a family who is rather badly socialized, et cetera, et cetera. The anecdotal evidence, I have no use for it. In God we trust, all else bring data. So we have done the studies, my friends. Check out the Gen 2 survey if you're interested in how homeschoolers were raised, how public school students were raised, and how they compare in terms of their faith background and their sexual background. We have asked those questions in the Gen 2 survey. But as it turns out, homeschoolers are doing much better in all of these other areas. Dr. Brian Ray was interviewed by The New American, and he said that the Department of Education head's comments, his veiled worries, raise the question, compared to homeschooling, is he happy with the illiteracy rate coming out of the schools? Is he happy with the drug abuse rates, the suicide rates, the rate at which public school students vote and are interested in learning and reading real books? If he's not happy with most of that, and I'm guessing he's not, what is his point in bringing up a tiny minority of homeschoolers who he thinks might not be doing very well? In other words, why are you bringing up the -3 standard deviations to the left of the normal distribution curve? Why does he bring this up and make a huge issue out of the anecdotal cases in which there are just a few who haven't done a very good job with socialization or with the academics? And it's a great question.
Yeah.
It's a great question to ask. He also says, furthermore, is he implying that if that tiny minority of homeschoolers were put in public schools, the public schools guarantee that they would do better? Wow, great question. In other words, take the -3 sigma on the normal distribution of the homeschooled kids, those kids that didn't do very well in their homeschool, put them in those wonderful public schools, and let's see how they would do. Good point. He says, I face that in court all the time as an expert witness. Again, this is Dr. Brian Ray from the National Home Education Research Institute. He says, I face that argument in court all the time as an expert witness. The idea that if a child is below average on something, that he or she would be better in public school, it simply is not true.
Yeah, that's because the homeschoolers, when you get parents who are actually involved and wanting to be involved in their kids' lives, they want to see the children grow. They want to see them learn. They want to see all of those things that would make their child better. And if you are one of 30, one of 40 in a classroom, there's just not the time.
Well, and if the classroom on its average is doing what the average American public school classroom does, and that's 30 to 40 percentile points under the average homeschool experience, if that's the average, then the turkey principle applies. Have you ever heard the expression, if it's hard to fly like eagles when you're being educated at turkey school?
Yeah.
If you're being educated with the turkeys in turkey school, it's hard to fly like eagles when the people you hang with are turkeys. There is something to be said about the peer influence. And I want to get to that because the major issue brought out by the Secretary of Education and many others is the question, what about socialization? In which they are asking the question, what about the opportunity for your children to engage with their peers day in and day out, 6 hours a day, 8 hours a day for the next 4,567 days? What about that? You know, isn't that critical? Isn't that crucial? Isn't it absolutely essential that your children wind up at the junior prom? Isn't that the end all and be all of the socialization experience in the modern socialist systems? Isn't it important to plug your kids into not the covenantal family 80 to 90% out of every day, but plug them into the socialist state? So they play a part as an individual citizen in the socialist school and have access to their peers for 80 to 90% of their social experience. In other words, where are you going to put your child in terms of their social experience, the bulk of their social experience? What will that look like? Will it look like one who belongs in the family life, in the work world, and in the church, or will it look like somebody who is plugged into the public school in which he will have a whole lot of peer contact for large periods of time throughout the day?
Yeah, but it's even a false grouping anyway, because you take a look at who you're working with right now in your adult life. Are you only working with people that are your age? No. We work with people who are of varying ages. We have to deal with people of varying ages, varying degrees of education. That's exactly what you get in the home. It is, you're dealing with parents, you're dealing with other people, you deal with varying ages, and it's been found that children who have been homeschooled can communicate well with all kinds of people because that's who they've dealt with all their life.
Well, that was my experience when I went to California Polytechnic State University and ran for student body president. The one interesting thing about my campaign, and I eventually won the campaign against five other candidates who are better known on the campus than I was, but what happened was I would interact with just about every club on campus. I went to the sororities, the fraternities. I went off to the minority clubs. I hit it off well with the Hispanic club. I even went to the communist club on campus, interacted with some of them. I went to every club on campus and was able to make friends and interact with people who had come from a lot of different social and cultural backgrounds. And it was sort of natural for me, partly because I was homeschooled, partly because I was raised on the mission field. But I found it was incredibly easy for me to cross over and relate to different crowds. And I noticed that, you know, the frat boys running against me could do well in the fraternities, but they didn't do as well in the sororities, and they certainly didn't do as well in the engineering clubs, and they didn't do nearly as well in the minority clubs with the Hispanic groups. I did well in all the campus clubs, pretty much. I was able to sort of get on the same page, at least at some point, with the various clubs on campus. And I think it was the fact that I was not raised with a peer group that made a huge difference. And when I got into management at 25, 28 years of age, I found that there were guys working for me that were twice my age or three times my age. There were younger kids. There were people from 10, 15 different minority backgrounds, cultural backgrounds, people who hardly speak English. So of the people that were working for me, it was a very, very broad range. And I think what people forget is that when you get out there into the work world, you can't walk into your first McDonald's job and say, hey, I only get along with 17-year-old white Anglo-Saxons who like to play Grand Theft Auto. You know what I'm saying? What are they going to tell you? You know, you've got the Hispanic grandma over here. You've got, you know, an 18-year-old, but you've also got a 36-year-old man who still deals with autism over here. You know, you've got all of these different people in the work world. You can't just socialize. You can't just work with your 17-year-old white Anglo-Saxons who like to play Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, that just doesn't work well. You might get along with one other person there in your workplace.
Yeah, and that maybe.
You got to get along with everybody in the sandbox.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. My friends, we've got to be we got to understand the teen peer thing is perpetual adolescence hanging out with immature people doing immature things until you get married at 38 years of age, and you might have a job at that point. That, my friends, is not exactly the full-orbed social experience that will prepare you for life. Prepare your children by giving them family experience, church experience, work experience. What is life all about? Life is not about peer involvement. It's not hanging out in the school and doing whatever the school does. No, life is work. Life is church. Life is family. Introduce your children to that, and they will be properly socialized. All right, my friends, that is a summary of proper socialization. And I think it should be obvious, but it's not when the socialist governments have placed a new definition of socialization and created a very strange world that does not adequately prepare our young men, certainly, and our young women for life, for family life, for church life, and for work life. Get your definition of socialization down straight, especially as you talk about these things with those who may be detractors when it comes to the issue of home education. Well, you've been listening to the Generations Radio broadcast. We're clean out of time. I hope this has been helpful to you as we continue to work towards equipping the man of God for every good work. This is Kevin Swanson and Steve Vaughn in studio, and we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.